Hello, everyone, and welcome to War Stars, a Star Wars podcast. Come to you, as always, from deep within the Outer Rim, far beyond the watchful eyes of the Galactic Empire. My name is Joe Mercalli, and joining me today, as always, is my co-host,
McBeardface. No, I'm sorry. Garrett K. Jones.
McBeardface. Oh, yes. Bodie McBoatface, yes.
Yes. So it's been a very interesting weekend. I spent the weekend down in San Diego, and it was beautiful weather down there, like 60s, maybe low 70s. It was, you know, mostly overcast and a little breezy, really nice weather. Came back home yesterday, and it like 90 degrees, bright and sunny. Oh. I'm like, nope.
We were 50, it's 50 degrees. It's been like in the 30s when we wake up in the morning, and it's been raining all day. Yeah. We had a tornado in the area the other day, and yeah. Anyway, we are not here to talk the weather. We are here to talk Bad Batch. We had yet another episode.
Yes, we have a new episode. This episode is called Into the Breach. Basically, it's this huge tactical gambit that the Batch are trying to play out as they are infiltrating an Imperial location near Coruscant. Mm-hmm. And all the while, Omega is trying to escape Tantus.
Yes.
So what did you think of this one?
It was better than last week's. I felt it was better than last week's. It was fun seeing the dynamic between the Bad Batch and
Rampart.
And Rampart kind of being forced in. I especially like the scene where Rampart has to dress down the other officer, and you can just tell he's completely in his wheelhouse right there.
Oh yeah, he's totally in his element, and it was actually really well done.
Yeah, it reminded me of the scene from it was in Obi-Wan. They're on the base in the middle of the ocean, and she does basically the same thing. They basically do the same thing of, do you want me to tell your commander that you're not letting me on? And it just shows you how paranoid everyone was.
I will say this, though. It does feel like this particular tactic is something that keeps getting pulled up in Star Wars more and more recently.
Yeah.
Because they've used it a couple times in Clone Wars. They used it, obviously, in Obi-Wan. They used it in Bad Batch. And I'm sure I've seen it in other Star Wars media in the last 10 years or so.
Yeah.
I like the episode. I thought it was well executed, very, very, very methodical in its pacing. I think probably one of the biggest things I liked about it was just like the tension of whether or not the Batch is going to get caught, or if they're even going to miss the transport that they've got to connect with. I thought that was all very well done, well placed, and the timing of that really was good.
Yeah. Bringing back Echo.
Yes,
that was good. I think that was it. This was the perfect episode for him to kind of come back.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah.
I will say though that the last two episodes between Juggernaut and Into the Breach, I feel like these two episodes should have been actually done as two separate episodes where like one focuses only on Omega And the other one focuses only on the Bad Batch getting Rampart out and going on this mission.
I agree.
It felt like the otherwise the episode should have just been one long episode instead of two separate ones like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like it felt like we had two different plot lines going on at the same time. And that's not uncommon for these kinds of shows, but at the same time, it felt like the plot threads did not fit well with one another.
Yeah, I agree. Trying to think.
And correct me if I'm wrong. Did it feel like Omega is just like way too relaxed about what she's doing?
It did. It felt weird, like
weird how?
I don't know. Like you said, she's way too relaxed.
Mm-hmm.
It almost feels like she's given up.
Well, I don't think she's given up. She's trying to escape out of the facility. But at the same time, I don't know.
Yeah. She's not acting like someone who just got captured and is seeing all these kids.
She's feeling way too relaxed about it. And
it doesn't feel like there's a sense of urgency.
Right. Right. Like, and it's like everything is going to come out. It's going to come out aces for her or something. And unless they're setting us up for like the rug to be pulled out from underneath us, which I think would be good storytelling if they execute it well. It feels like she goes back into her cell. She's pulling apart the wall, which I thought was kind of brilliant, but at the same time, it's like anybody who's supposed to be observing these children from the observation deck above this, the vault. Like, how are they not seeing what she's drawing, or how are they not paying attention to the puzzle pieces that she's been putting around on the table in the exact shape of the space that they're occupying?
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is like the air traffic controller who should be watching the skies for a living, completely oblivious to the ginormous mothership entering Earth's atmosphere.
Yeah.
Am I wrong in thinking that?
No, not at all. I mean, unless they were to explain it to be like, she realizes she's being watched, so that's why she's not acting more. She's trying to act as calm and as she can to not draw attention to herself. But then there can be such a thing as being too calm,
right?
Where
it's one of those weird things where I'm like, it doesn't make sense that she would be this calm and collected.
Mm-hmm.
What were some highlights of the episode for you aside from Rampart just dressing down that lieutenant?
Just the whole heist. That's basically what it was. It was a heist. Trying to get close enough so they could track the ship when it goes into hyperspace. That whole scene, Rampart winning, thinking like a military man, like a traditional military man would be like, okay, it's not going to work. We need to abort. But the Bad Batch, give them more time.
Yeah.
I enjoyed this episode, but the last two episodes have left me feeling like, okay, let's move on. Let's go. Get to the end. I don't know why, but there hasn't been anything in particular of the last where it's blown me away.
Yeah.
Where I've just been like, oh my gosh, this is the greatest thing that Star Wars. You know, and some of the first few episodes of the season kind of did. I mean, they started with the real bang.
These episodes have felt really just kind of slow, very. And don't get me wrong, I like the slow methodical, but
when you're getting near the end of a series,
standing out as a dynamic scene.
Yeah, and when I think when you get near the end, especially of end of the not just the season, but the end of the series, things should be ramping up. Things should be moving up breakneck speed right now.
I wouldn't say ramping up because we've hit the climax point of the story arc for this season, which was when which was the crisis when Omega gives herself over to the Empire. But you're absolutely right. We should be steamrolling towards this huge final confrontation, and it feels like it almost feels like we've hit that downhill slope. And like the showrunners have just hit the brakes. We're just riding the brakes and coasting as slowly to the conclusion
as
we possibly can. And I'm like, this should be way more explosive. This should be way, way more intense than we're getting.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
So what were some down points on this episode for you?
I don't know. Just
was there anything?
No, that was the thing. There was nothing that really stood out, good or bad, to me. Like it was a good episode, but there's nothing that was just like, this is horrible. So I didn't really like.
Just kind of a meh episode.
It was. I mean, it was just kind of. It was mid. As the kids, is that what the kids now say nowadays?
No. I have no idea what they're saying half the time. I mean, I had a kid tell me something was busting, and I'm like, what does public transportation have to do with anything?
Yeah.
I have that Doc Brown, Marty McFly moment of what's going on in the future.
Exactly. Guys
are suddenly, you know, heavier. I think for me, the downside of it is I feel like this episode like almost put a complete halt on everything going on. Like the action slows down considerably. I mean, we get more action like right before the end of the episode, more so than we did throughout the rest of the episode. And I don't know. It just doesn't feel like it just didn't feel like that strong of an entry. Like this is, I don't know. Like I really feel like the elements that went into this episode and last week's episode with the Juggernaut.
Yeah.
It is something that feels like it should have been like condensed into one episode. And having all these things happen, like, you know, back to back to back within the confines of that one episode. Because, like, looking at the phrase "into the breach" and what that means, like, you do a job or task which someone else was supposed to do or has done in the past because they're suddenly unable to do it. That's you step into the breach or and that's what that means. Like someone else should have done this job. The title for this episode doesn't like, just like with Juggernaut, doesn't make a whole lick of sense.
Yeah.
And it's like, it feels like they're taking these really cool phrases or these really cool terms. And they're like, hey, this sounds like it's a really good idea for an episode title, but it doesn't make sense because no one is stepping into this breach. No one was tasked with, no one else was supposed to find the coordinates for Tantus. No one else was supposed to, unless of course it's an idea that, you know, that Rampart just was supposed to know and didn't. But even then, that was established in the previous episode.
Yeah.
That he never had direct coordinates. He'd been there, but just because you've been somewhere doesn't mean it's like it's being thrown into the back of a mob boss's trunk, being driven somewhere, pulled out into a warehouse, and then thrown back in when it's time to leave.
Yeah,
that's
and you think that the bad, like, they act so surprised and upset when Rampart tells them he doesn't know where it's at. You think that a group like the Bad Batch would understand that, yeah, he probably wouldn't know where it's at because they would keep that super secret to pretty much anyone.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, you think they would have understood that, yeah, he probably doesn't know exactly where it's at.
It feels like they're one, it almost felt like the writers are trying to create conflict and drama that doesn't actually need to be there. It doesn't feel organic. It feels very forced.
Mm-hmm.
And I hadn't thought about that until you said something just now, but like this whole thing with Rampart, why would they be surprised? It's the freaking military, for crying out loud. The military and secret organizations have secrets within secrets within secrets, multiple layers to prevent leaks, to prevent any issues with anything.
There's probably only five, maybe only five people, I would say, if that, in the Empire that knows where Tantus actually is.
Right. Palpatine knows where it is because he probably took the location.
Yeah.
Moff Tarkin knows where it is because he's the one running the books.
Yeah.
Obviously Hemlock knows because that's where he works.
Yeah.
And the only
I would even say Vader probably doesn't know where it's at.
No, it would Vader for sure would not, because if Vader knew
if Vader found out what was going on there.
If Vader found out what was going on in this facility, it and what they were trying to accomplish with it,
you can
hands down understand where this is going. But like, what's interesting is, I don't know, it feels like some of the elements for this particular storyline with all these clones, it feels like it was recycled out of Force Unleashed Part 2. Yeah. Which heavily relies on the cloning facilities in Kamino, because the game starts and ends on Kamino. You start off as supposedly a clone of Starkiller breaking out of the facility and working your way to an escape ship, and then you return. You actually crash a starship into one of the facilities, or one of the wings of the facility, and you break in and you're dealing with an entire cloning facility collapsing down upon you as you battle Vader.
Yeah.
And so it feels like this is one of those episodes, like the elements that they're drawing from are, I wouldn't say harvested, but at least imitated from that particular storyline, that particular game. So I don't know. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I don't know. It's just been I don't know.
Yeah, I want if I was to give a grade for this episode, I would say I would probably give it probably a 6.5.
Yeah, that sounds maybe 6. Yeah, 6.5. If you're doing letter grade, C plus.
That's being very generous too.
Yeah. It is just kind of middle of the ground. Maybe next week things will start to ramp up.
Let's take a look at what next week's episode is about. Let's see here. Bad Batch season 3 release schedule. So next episode It's going to be episode 14. It releases this week. So if you're watching, it's probably already, if you're watching this or listening to our podcast right now, the episode should be up and running. And it probably has already aired on April 24th. But it's called Flash Strike, which based on the that title, I would expect the action is going to ramp up significantly.
Yeah.
As we are heading into the final episode, because the final, we've got two episodes left, episode 14, which is this week, and episode 15, which comes out on May 1st, entitled The Cavalry Has Arrived.
And what I found interesting is this is the first of the, especially I think of the animated shows, besides maybe Resistance, and a lot of shows too, where Vader hasn't showed up.
Are you Vader sure?
Or Anakin. I don't think so. He hasn't showed up yet. Which is interesting.
There is a secret Easter egg in this season. Season 3, episode 3. Includes a secret Easter egg that shows what Emperor Palpatine thought of his apprentice, Darth Vader. The episode also features the promo Vader. And this is more of just like his own, it's Palpatine's thoughts. It's an obscure reference. So if you aren't paying attention to the dialogue, that's just pretty much it. And then there's a Reddit thread asking the question of, will Vader appear in the final season of Bad Batch?
Unless it's like a last minute, like end of the series,
right?
And honestly, I don't think he needs to appear in this one.
No, he doesn't. In fact, most of the commenters are saying that probably not. One Redditor said, "I hope not. The show is not Anakin or Vader's story." And a lot of others were saying, I don't think so. Involving Vader would require the Emperor personally dispatching him, and Palpatine wants Project Necromancer to be a complete secret as he attempts to perform his role. And that's the thing is, like, if this wasn't a secret, if Vader knew, I mean, think about how many things Palpatine kept close to the vest when it came to dealing with Vader.
This would have been a perfect show in a perfect season if you were to introduce a certain Emperor's hand to deal with. Yeah, exactly. This would have been a perfect show to introduce her in, I think, especially this season.
Although Mara Jade would have been a counterpart for Luke Skywalker, who at this point is still a kid. So maybe Mara Jade was captured for Project Necromancer to be studied for her M count. Sees her potential as a hand.
I didn't think about that. Yeah, because she was around the same age as Luke.
Yeah, a little bit younger, I think.
Yeah.
But yes.
Because if in the books they mentioned she was actually at Jabba's palace.
Right.
She was one of the dancers. Which always makes me want to go back and see if I can find a redhead that was there when I watched Jedi.
Let me see. Redheaded dancer. Yeah, there is, but she's not a human.
Oh.
So if you go to Return of the Jedi, when you've got the Twi'lek and the Rodian, and then the red-haired dancer with the weird speckled spots and everything, she's closer to a Deveronian. And her name is Ristal Sent, and she's a human Thelan hybrid singer. So it's not Mara Jade. It's It's not the traditional Mara Jade that we know, but it is technically a redhead dancing in Jabba's palace.
Well, she could have been in disguise. You know, she could have had, you know,
I don't know,
surgery done to make her. Hey, we can make it work.
But if you take a look at her feet are not anywhere close to being human.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, her feet almost look like elephant toes. Kind of hard to, unless it's just something with the shoes that she's wearing. I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I think we both agree, though, this last couple episodes have been kind of meh.
Yes.
Yeah.
Very, very meh.
As we're getting down near the end of the season, though, how do you think this season has compared to the other seasons?
I gotta say, I have been more enthusiastic about this particular season than I was with season two.
Yeah.
We'll see how it shapes up and how that impacts my opinion. Mm-hmm. But hands down, this episode or this season feels far more deliberate than season two. Season two just felt like it's like the season two actually felt like an entire filler of a season.
It was
more reasons to interact with the Bad Batch outside of anything else.
Yeah. It didn't. Season two felt like there was, other than Crosshair's storyline, it didn't feel like this, like it really went anywhere.
Right.
Whereas like season one was, you know, felt like, okay, this is the direction, this is what's going on. And same thing with this one. It feels like we have a direction that we're going in and an endpoint. And we kind of know, we kind of understand where the endpoint is, and we're just along for the journey.
Yeah, it feels like, and part of the problem is like, if you know where you want to end, it feels like, if you don't have it tightly developed as far as like what your plot points are,
yeah,
it feels like what you're doing is just each successful episode is just moving characters into their placement for the next episode without giving it a whole lot of thought. So like one of the jokes I heard about Rogue One, for example, was basically getting every major character to their starting positions for the beginning of episode four, A New Hope.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was supposed to fill in gaps, but really because it takes place just days or hours before the events of the original film, it's all about getting people to their starting positions, specifically Vader and the Rebel spies. So it's, you know, it that as a writer myself, I mean, that's one of the things I worry about, because I don't want to find myself, putting my characters in situations where all they're doing is they're enacting a series of actions or decisions just to get them to the place I want them for the next story.
Hmm.
So, and that's what it feels like was happening in a lot of season two. I felt like they were given the green light for three seasons and they really only needed the content for two. Or if they wanted to do one that was much longer, they could have done one for like 30 episodes. They could have streamlined all three seasons into one long season.
Yes, I agree. I think that we'll wrap things up right there as we normally do. And Garrett, why don't you tell the people out there where they can find you at?
Well, you guys can find me at a couple of different places. First and foremost, you guys can find me on X and Instagram at GKJ_publishing, where I talk about my books. I talk about the podcasts I work on, whether it's War of the Stars or my Storytellers podcast. Or if you want to catch me on YouTube, you can find me doing a show called The Right Way at youtube.com/C/GKJ Publishing. Or you just do a search for GKJ Publishing. And on The Right Way, I talk book recommendations, author interviews, and creative writing tips. This month is the closeout of the Author Awareness April interview marathon. Three episodes have come out in the last 3 weeks. All great interviews. I've got one more coming out this Saturday with Tori Q. Jones. No relation. She is an East Coast author working on a science fiction fantasy series called the Reborn series. Really cool. Looking forward to that one being out, and then taking a break from production for Star Wars Day and / Free Comic Book Day, which will be on May the 4th. But then we're right back into it on May 11th with a brand new monthly episode.
Awesome. Awesome. As for us right here, of course, if you want to get hold of us, best way to do is through our email, wherethestars1@gmail.com. That is also our handle on X, or formerly Twitter. All of our social media, just search War of the Stars, a Star Wars podcast. What else do we got? Oh, YouTube. You can check us out on YouTube. There's our handle at War of the Stars 9510. We are also on Geek News Now. Just go to Geek News Now on YouTube or Spotify. Check out all the shows on Geek News Now on GNN.
And one little caveat, if you are looking for Geek News Now on YouTube, make sure you search for Geek News Now Official or GNN Official, because otherwise you'll get some other channel and it's not us.
Yes, that's right. Also, Star Wars Through the Eyes of a Child. We just put up a new episode this past week on Sunday on our own War of the Stars channel. It's also on GNN if you want to check it out there. But both places, so definitely check that out. A lot of fun doing that. If you want to support the show, ko-fi.com/ War of the Stars. It's like giving us a cup of coffee.
You could always use one.
Yeah. Or you can buy the merch at spreadshirt.com/shop/ War of the Stars. Also, on a little aside, next week's episode will be our 7th year anniversary show. We got a lot of guests coming in. It's going to be a lot of fun. We're gonna, of course, still going to be doing our review of
the next episode of Bad Batch.
But
we'll have a few guests.
We'll have a few guests. We'll talk about the show, the podcast, and kind of reminisce with some old friends and some new ones. So yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. 7 years, hard to believe it's been. I've been doing this for 7 years, and I've loved every minute of it.
That's awesome. That's awesome. I've only been here for the last 2 years, and it's been a blast.
It's been fun having you. Not that you're going anywhere. No.
Right. No. I'm not going anywhere. Not yet.
Yes. All right. With that being said, remember, this is not just my Star Wars. This is not just your Star Wars. This is our Star Wars. Until next time, may the Force be with you.
This is the way.